Live from Leonardo da Vinci's cigar shop in Florence, Italy, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour 2026. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling, and occasionally other topics of general interest, with your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, inventor, and philosopher, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who always wears matched socks, Richard J. Ringhausen. And welcoming back a special guest, longtime bridge tender for the state of Illinois, well-known song and dance man, self-taught alligator wrestler, and a man who always washes his hands before sticking them into the bowl of M&Ms, Gregory J. Johnson. And marksman, sculptor, and daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who could drag you out the door by the scruff of your neck, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and star of your show, Alan Ringhausen. Yay! Now you
trouble. Trouble. I'm all tangled up in blues here. Thank you. Thank you.
You know what's nice about this, having this live audience, is we no longer have to clap during the intro.
Which is nice.
That's nice. Yeah.
Anything that involves less work is nice.
What was that intro song? That seemed familiar.
It's a baby elephant walk.
Okay, I actually thought it was an
elephant.
It was
originated in the John Wayne movie.
Hatari,
and it was for Mama Tumbo. And she had three baby elephants that would follow her around.
I did not know
or,
that.
I'm just making this all up.
I've heard of Hatari. I don't think I've seen it.
And then later it became a TV show called Doctari. And they had Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion.
Yeah.
Which he is now stuffed and is at MGM Studios.
Wow. Is that what happened to Clarence for real?
No, I just made that up.
Because I was wanting to talk about what happened to famous animals. And I got to think about Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion.
Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion.
But I could not find what happened to Clarence.
Yeah.
I mean, they do stuff animals. You know, who was the... You remember the movie about the two lions that were just
DeSavo
like,
lions. They're in Chicago.
That were like eating people.
Yeah.
When they were building that...
Lots of them.
That transcontinental African railroad. You know anything about that, Johnson?
No.
We build a transcontinental African railroad. And they get two man-eating lions, two of them, that start, like, attacking the workers at night, you know, to where they're, like, building, you know, like, fires all around their camps. And these lions, I guess, once you get a taste for human blood.
And it wasn't just one or two people that they attacked. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, 20 or 30.
Yeah. Tremendous.
But that's true. If they get a taste for human blood,
yeah.
They can't get enough of it.
Just like dogs.
Yeah. Anyway, you can go to Chicago and see them. I've seen them.
What? Yeah. They hired a big game hunter to come in, hunt them down, kill them both, and then hauled them off to Chicago and stuffed them.
That's fact.
The Ghost in the Darkness. There's a movie called Ghost in the Darkness.
Val Kilmer and Mike Douglas.
Yeah, pretty good movie.
It is pretty good.
It's about that?
Yeah.
Any movie that's about lions killing people, good movie. So we know what happened to those two lions. How about Mr. Ed?
No idea.
Mr. Ed, his name was actually Bamboo Harvester. And it says that after his TV show, he died from an inadvertent tranquilizer administered while he was in retirement in a stable in Burbank, California, where he lived with his trainer.
Why do you have to trank Mr. Ed?
Now, you see, I'm going to dream about that tonight. And I'm going to be in a nursing home, and they're going to inadvertently tranquilize me because I'm cursing all night long.
You know, he lived in a stable with his trainer, it says.
So that's what happened to the trainer after Mr. Ed got canceled. you and Ed are being evicted from the apartment building, and it looks like you're going to be living in the stable with your horse.
Let's see. The horse was laid to rest in 1979 on the farm of Snodgrass Farm in Oklahoma with no marker.
Yeah,
it wasn't until the summer of 1990 when Mr. Ed fans got a standing granite gravestone on his grave.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better.
But his epitaph uses stage name Mr. Ed and does not mention
Bamboo Harvester in there.
No.
Mm. I would have to think that to stuff a horse,
yeah,
would be a fairly complex thing. Because, you know, like when it comes to stuffing certain animals, when I say stuff, I'm talking about taxidermy. There are, you know, like with deer and turkey and various other animals that are commonly taxidermed, there are molds that are mass produced and they just stretch the hide.
Like for deer, you mean?
Yeah.
You shoot a deer and you want him taxidermed. They're not starting from scratch.
No. But with the horse, well, maybe there's only like one company in the United States that specializes in stuffing horses, but I just can't imagine there's a lot of them around.
I think you could go to taxidermist. You know, at one time, I had it in my noggin that when our donkey died, our first donkey, Blackjack, that I was going to have him stuffed, the whole animal, and keep him in the state's attorney's office over in Georgia County.
Yeah.
And I actually looked into that. There was a guy that we had arrested. They thought he was a drug dealer, but he had cleaned house when we did the search warrant. But he's also a taxidermist, right?
You know, some of your best taxidermists are drug addicts. They really are. Well,
that's where they hide the drugs.
This guy, like I said, he cleaned house on his drugs, you know. So the drug guys come in, you know, with the dogs searching, can't find anything. And he's kind of got this look of, gotcha. Well, then they brought some guys from IDNR in and searched his whole taxidermy business, and he hadn't licensed up his taxidermy stuff correctly.
Oh, darn.
And he had some, like, baby raccoons. You're not supposed to apparently stuff them. And they charged him with a whole bunch of felonies for that. They got him on a harder set of charges than if he found the drugs in the house.
Man.
And for a long time, I had these three baby
the bottom line, Johnson, is if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law.
Sounds like an illegal search and seizure to me.
Now, once you're there legally, they had we had a search warrant to go in. So once we're there legally, anything else is fair game.
You know, I can see
not,
that guy.
You're not limited to just
what you were limited to items on the search warrant.
No.
He's 3 years in a state prison, and the new guy's coming. What are you in here for? I stuffed three baby raccoons.
Apparently, you know, the baby raccoons, and it was a really nice mounting. They were like three of them on a log, you know. And I had them up in the state's attorney's office for a long time.
I saw them. I remember seeing them.
And when the new state's attorney came in, he didn't like them, so he gave them to the probation department down there.
What'd they do with them?
Years later, that same taxidermist committed actually got him on drug charge, and had to go into probation. When he checked in one time, he says, I mounted those raccoons. They gave them back to him.
That seems only fair, I think.
But
he paid for them.
That guy, he was a real nice guy, you know. I remember him coming to,
other than the breaking the law part.
Well, you know, people who break the laws aren't necessarily bad people. You know, they're just astray.
They're just criminals.
And once they've... You know,
serve their time.
Once they've served their time
to society,
you know, that's fine. You know, I have no problem with them. But this guy, you know, I'd run into him when he was checking in with his probation officer, and I got to talking to him, and I'd asked him about, you know, taxiderming the donkey when he died. He says, "Oh yeah, I can do that." He says, "But it'll cost you."
Mm, yeah,
and it turned out to be several thousand dollars. So yeah. That didn't happen.
That circles back around to the question of, do you know the fate of the donkey?
I kind of do.
Who, Blackjack?
Yeah. We bought him as a baby miniature donkey at a wild animal auction in Mexico, Missouri, in a drunken stupor. Yeah! I want that donkey! So we brought it home. It lived its entire life. It died of old age on the farm. But when it died, it died in January in one of these winters that was just super cold, and mom wanted dad to bury the donkey, and I don't know what piece of machinery he had, but he couldn't dig past the frost line, so he got it kind of a walled out spot, puts the dead donkey in it, and covers it up with as much snow and earth as he could pull together. Needless to say...
Talk to me about April.
Here's a lesson for you,
needless to say,
don't die in the winter.
Right.
The critters got to it and tore it all up, and the neighbor's dogs actually drug Blackjack's head into the front yard. But before this all happened, you know, mom called me up and said, Alan, I got some bad news. Blackjack died. And then there's this long silence, and she says, and you cannot have his head. Because, you know, I have this phrenology thing where I collect skulls of various animals. So I said, Mom, I don't want that.
Instead, she gave it to the neighbors.
No, well, she gave it to Dad, and Dad attempted to bury it, and the neighbor's dog drug it into the yard. So, you know, a couple weeks later, she calls me back and says, Alan, Blackjack's head is laying in the front yard. The neighbor's dogs are chewing on it.
Please come get it.
I'd rather have it on the shelf at your office than to see this happen. Can do, Mom.
Do you still have Blackjack's skull?
He is on the shelf.
Nice. All right. Congratulations.
Okay. I got a better one. I got another animal that's on the shelf. You know, I tried to collect animals that are indigenous to Illinois. But I've got...
Indigenous.
But, yeah, I'll get a few others. And one day, a friend of mine comes driving up behind the my office building and honks the horn. And I come out, and he's got a brown paper bag and pitches it to me and said, our guinea pig, Sparkle, died. And my kids think I'm out burying it right now. But you can have its skull. And I'm like, awesome. Yeah, so yeah, I prepared and get it all fixed up. Fast forward.
Years later.
Fast forward from, you know, like 14, 15 years later, I'm in my office, and I had hired that guy's son to work for me as a summer worker, right?
No.
And so one day, you know, usually he worked up at the shed. He rarely came into the office. This one particular day, he's in the office, and he's looking at all this, you know, rows of skulls on the shelf in my office. And as he comes along, he says, oh, hey, you got a guinea pig. And I kind of leaned back in my chair and said, that's Sparkle. And he's just, his mouth drops open. He says, my Sparkle?
No, one of the thousand other guinea pigs named Sparkle.
I said, that's him. And he kind of stares at me for a while and says, cool. So he got years of enjoyment out of that guinea pig. That's a true story. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to decide which one of these. I'm going to talk about Arnold the pig.
Okay,
from Arnold. Green Acres. Apparently, you know, they would, each season, Green Acres went on for, what, 6, 7 years?
Yeah.
Well, Arnold the pig would grow big each year.
Right.
So they'd do a new pig each season.
And you could see that it was a different pig regularly. I mean, it was of varying sizes.
But they were all Chester Whites.
Always.
Yeah. But during the course of the season, they would get bigger. So he'd be small at the start of the season and big by the end. And then next season, they'd start with another one. But the guy that trained them all was a guy named Frank Inn. You see that? And he trained a ton of animals for different TV shows.
Frank who?
Frank Inn. I-N-N.
Okay.
And he had worked for Rudd Weatherwax. Rudd Weatherwax was the trainer of the Lassies.
The Lassies.
The Lassie. Well, there were multiple a whole bunch lassies. Of them.
There was more than one Lassie?
7.
Oh, yeah.
They had different ones, did different tricks.
And
Find Timmy in the Well was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So it says that one of the Arnolds is buried in Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Hollywood Hills, and that at least one came from a farm in Union Star, Missouri. It said that Arnold received a great deal of fan mail from children. A class of 6th graders from Ohio wrote with a pledge to stop eating pork chops. And Arnold went, ah, nice, thank you. But it said that the pig was paid $250 a day for his work and had a union contract.
Sounds fair.
But a popular urban legend circulated that at the end of the show, when they canceled it, that the cast and crew butchered an Nate Arnold. It says that story is false. The story's
false. Yeah, I see that.
I was just thinking, I mean, why would people think that, you know, that a pig that they'd work with, all right, show's over.
Let's eat him.
Let's eat him.
Barbecue.
But actually, when each one of the Arnolds would finish their term at the end of the term, the guy that trained him, this Frank Inn, who also trained the dog from Petticoat Junction, Benji, that he would keep those animals, and they lived with him out their lives. And as they died, he would have them cremated. And his last wishes that was when he died, they wanted all of them buried with him. And his daughter said that when they tried to do that,
I think it's weird. It's certifiable.
Okay.
The cemetery wouldn't let him do that.
There you go. Thank you.
So they just buried him, and the kids divided the animal ashes up amongst themselves.
I bet they snuck some in, though.
Oh, I'll bet so, too.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I don't know. What animal have you ever owned that you...
want to be buried with?
Yeah.
I like that black one upstairs. It and I hang out together, that dachshund.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be buried with that dachshund. It wouldn't bother me. Pope Francis said you can have your dog in heaven. It can come with me.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Just you?
Well, he really likes me.
He must not know you.
On this sheet, one of the animals is Ham. Do you know who Ham is? Ham was the first astro chimp that NASA launched when they were
going. Why would they create a confusion like that to where they have a monkey named Ham?
He was actually just Monkey 61.
Okay.
And he was trained at Holloman Aerospace Medical Center, HAM. That's where they came up with that. It was the initials of where he was trained.
Monkey number 61.
And they did.
How long have you served this ship?
I notice Harambe's not on your list. Is there a reason?
Who?
I would love to know how Harambe died.
Who's Harambe? What?
You guys don't remember Harambe?
No.
Oh, man.
Throw it out.
That kid fell in a gorilla cage or a gorilla pit or whatever and ended up killing him.
Wait, the boy killed the gorilla?
No, gorilla did not. The trainers did.
Gorilla didn't kill a kid. Gorilla watched out for him, didn't he, when that kid fell in the gorilla pit?
I don't think so. I think...
What, you think the gorilla drug him around and by his foot and flailed him back and forth?
I'm pretty sure something bad
happened. I think you're
Why
wrong.
Why did they kill Harambe then?
Who said they did?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, I have to look that up. Well, you can look that up while I'm talking here about Ham.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know we were still in the middle of Ham.
No, because Ham.
I don't like Ham.
You know, Ham was one of the astro chimps. Before they launched Alan Shepard, they launched Ham in a.
Yeah, how many monkeys did they kill before they got everything right?
60, it seems.
No, they did not.
That chip 61.
They did not 60. They did not kill any of their monkeys. All American animals came back alive. Now, the Russians left their dog, Latka, up in space. He died up there. And he burned up when the satellite came in.
Wow. Very Russian thing.
But Ham went to live at the National Zoo for 17 years after his flight in Washington, D.C. Went to the National Zoo.
Why couldn't they have just released him into the wild? He's done his service.
I think that once they've
domesticated a chimp, they can never
come
back.
Once they've grown up on a diet of like soda and cigarettes and stuff, you know, they can't get those things in the wild.
Is there anything funnier than a chimpanzee smoking?
I
don't think so.
It's fantastic.
That is a great thing. But he could have been the coolest chimp in the jungle.
Hey, there's that.
Couldn't you see him like releasing him back into the jungle wearing like a suit?
A little suit.
With suit and tie, smoking.
And he becomes like the leader of all of them.
The rainforest.
But Ham, here's the story that I like about Ham. He lived at the National Zoo for 17 years. You know, and he was a celebrity there, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was first astro chimp.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess after time, you know, they forget about you.
Uh-oh.
And they transferred him to a zoo in North Carolina. And he lived out his rest of his life.
And nobody there. Knew who he was there, probably.
Probably not.
They didn't know about his space
Forced
exploration.
Forced to walk a tightrope daily.
He was 25 years old. And they decided that they were going to taxidermy him and put him in the Smithsonian. And there was a big outcry about doing that, so they did not taxidermy him.
Why? What's the problem with taxidermying him and putting him in the
Smithsonian?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They could have made him animatronic and let him smoke. You know, have that.
It says his skeleton is in the collection at the National Museum of Health and Medicine in Silver Spring, Maryland.
All except for his skull, which I have on my shelf.
And the rest of his remains were buried at the International Space Hall of Fame in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Really?
And Colonel John Stapp gave the eulogy at the service.
who else is buried at the Space Museum in Alamogordo? All the former astronauts?
Well, at least 60, like you said.
Not the chimps. I'm talking about humans.
I don't know. That'd be a good question to see if there's any of them buried there.
If you were an astronaut.
An astro-chimp.
An astronaut and requested to be buried there at the National Space Museum.
Look, I don't think they can mix pets and animals. That we already discussed
Rick
that
earlier. Said you can!
I thought he said we couldn't.
He said Pope gave him special dispensation.
No. He said he could have his dog with him in
heaven.
Oh, in heaven. He didn't say they could be buried together.
Okay. What if you have a hellhound?
Boy, well, I don't know.
You going there with him?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Hey, here's Harambe. He was a 17-year-old male silverback gorilla.
Okay, here's Johnson.
He killed at the Cincinnati Zoo. May of 2016.
He was killed, huh?
Yeah, after a 3-year-old boy fell into his enclosure. Zoo officials shot Harambe to protect the child, who was probably not being watched very well by his parents, who was being dragged through a moat. The incident gained intense global attention and became a widely known internet meme.
How long ago was this?
16, so 10 years.
You know, but there's... You hear a story about some kid falling into, like, some zoo pit. Almost every year, you would think that at some point you would stop putting your kid up on the rail of a tiger pit and say, sit up there while I take your picture.
Nobody's telling me how to handle my kids.
I'll feed them to the tigers if I want to.
Yeah.
Makes them stronger.
What doesn't kill you? How about Flipper? Flipper's before your time. Did you ever see Flipper?
I never watched it. But
you know
he's a dolphin.
You know who he is.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of flippers.
Or a porpoise, I guess, technically, right?
Well, they all did different tricks.
Yeah, exactly. Each flipper was, like, one of them could, like, walk on his tail.
There was more than one flipper, too?
Yeah. I'm assuming his fate was an 8-ounce can.
So every one of these TV animals, there was more than one. They didn't just use the same one every time?
It depends. Now, the dog on Petticoat Junction was just one.
What is Petticoat Junction?
The youngest daughter on Little House on the Prairie, there's more than one of her.
Mary?
Not Mary. Not I said Mary. The youngest one, damn it.
What was her name? Mary and Laura
the
blind one. What was her name?
The youngest child's name was Carrie. Lost
it. Anyway, it was twins, and they'd switch them back and forth.
Oh,
same thing with
the Olsen twins, Full House.
So but the youngest child from the Little House on the Prairie, their dad in real life was Frank Culpepper from the Culpepper Cattle Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was his real name? So the kid's name was Culpepper?
No.
Okay, what it says about a total of 4 dolphins played Flipper. They were all trained by Rick O'Berry, who after this series dedicated himself to demanding freedom of these aquatic animals at all cost. But apparently it didn't work out that
way. Well, he was the one to torture him to make him do tricks.
Did he, like, whip them or what?
Females were used because they were less aggressive and their skin was smoother and looked better on camera. Kathy, the dolphin, was one of 4 specimens who played the lead character. The truth is, Kathy died in 1968, this is a dolphin, sick and alone in a pond. Her caretaker, realizing something was wrong with the animal, tried to swim with her and cheer her up in the water.
Okay.
He apparently then held Kathy down while she stopped breathing on purpose.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's something that dolphins just do. They die in the water.
I don't want to hear about it.
I don't either. All right. Carrie Ingalls.
God, that was Carrie. Okay, that was depressing as hell.
Well, here's one. How about the dog in the Big Lebowski?
It's a show dog with papers. Yeah, you can't board it. It gets nervous. That one?
Yeah. That dog actually belongs to Joel Cohen and Francis McDormand.
Really?
Yeah, it was their dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
it's not like it did anything to call it a famous dog. I don't say that makes it famous.
Well, it jumped up and down and barked. I suppose they didn't even have to train it to do that.
I'd say not. All right, let's talk about some famous animals for Pete's sake.
Okay.
Well, I think the dog from Big Lebowski's famous.
See, I knew
I think the Big Lebowski was a good movie, but...
Here's Cheetah. Let's talk about Cheetah.
We could talk about the ferret from the Big Lebowski.
Yeah. They ate it. People don't care about ferrets.
I know.
Not. You know, there was a whole bunch of cheetahs over nice the years, plumbing. Too, but there was a couple of them that were pretty famous. The ones that worked with Weissmuller were famous cheetahs. Okay. Cheetah the monkey.
Cheetah the monkey from Tarzan.
Yeah, not an animal cheetah.
Right, yeah, it's more dangerous.
Cheetah, Tarzan's chimp sidekick, dies at 80. Lived to be
80?
80.
An 80-year-old monkey?
Yeah, there's pictures of him. He's like fat and gray.
Wow.
Still smoking? He moved. Switched to cigars, I bet, though, right?
Yeah. Johnson, he looks just like I figure you'll look at 80.
Yeah, probably.
It says, after he retired, living on Weissmuller's estate, Cheetah retired to the Suncoast Primary Sanctuary in Palm Harbor, Florida. While at the sanctuary, Cheetah enjoyed watching sports on television,
yeah,
listening to non-denominational Christian music, and occasionally throwing his excrement when he was feeling disgruntled.
Okay. That would be listening to the Christian music part, probably got him disgruntled. I want some rock and roll.
Mia Farrow, whose mother was Maureen O'Sullivan, who played Jane in the best of the Tarzan movies, said that her mother invariably referred to Cheetah as that little bastard.
Okay.
It says that the guy says about Cheetah that he loved women. He loved life.
Uh-oh. We know what that means.
That's what I want on my tombstone.
Cheetah was out of control.
Loved women, loved life. Hey, what time? Check your time, too, by the way.
We're good.
Okay. Well, what other famous animals do you want to know about?
Trigger.
Trigger lived out his life with on Roy Rogers' estate or farm. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans had Trigger, and that's where he lived. They kept him till he died.
Let me tell you about Manus the orangutan. You know what he's from?
No. Oh, is that the one with Clint Eastwood?
Yeah. Any Which Way But Loose, Any Which Way You Can. He was also in Cannonball Run too.
So that was the same orangutan.
Yep.
What happened to him?
Well, I don't know. I just know he was in all three.
Huh.
He was born in 64.
Yeah, that was Clint Eastwood's kind of make a move to comedy for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
He made those lighthearted Any Which Way movies.
You ever hear of a horse called Comanche? It was the only living creature left at Little Bighorn.
Well, I'm pretty sure all the Indians.
I think a lot of the Indians.
I'm talking about the American side here.
Oh.
Well, not American. I guess I can't say that. The Indians were all Americans.
They were probably more so than the other side.
A little bit of a faux pas. The only cavalry horse left.
The only non-Native American that survived.
But it had a Native American name, so maybe that's why it was spared.
Maybe. What about Dolly? You know who Dolly was?
Oh, Dolly's the sheep.
Sheep.
The first sheep that was cloned. I do know about Dolly. Dolly didn't live that long. Dolly lived about another 8 years or so. She had like three or four lambs and then had
six.
Some diseases. But
died prematurely of pulmonary Adaminosis.
Yeah, and the question then was whether...
Her remains are on display in the Connect Gallery at the National Museum in Scotland.
And how could you know? Isn't every sheep pretty much already cloned?
Yeah, exactly.
When you see like a flock of 1,000 of them, I can't tell any difference between any of them anyway. What's the point of cloning one of them? Yeah. But
to say you could.
The question was, to clone Dolly, they used like an adult cell, right? And the question was, did Dolly start her life already genetically as an adult, even though she grew as a lamb, but was already older, so that's why she died.
Okay, the next animal that I was going to tell you about was Jumbo the elephant.
Okay.
Hey, stuffed!
Jumbo was like the elephant that belonged to P.T. Barnum, didn't
he? Yeah.
I mean, and he was like a cash cow.
Yeah, he made it to the United States, P.T. Barnum, on exhibit with the Barnum and Bailey Circus, performed from 1881 to 1885, when he was struck and fatally wounded by a freight train.
Ah. Yeah, they advertised him as like the largest elephant in the world. P.T. Barnum apparently would just say anything, you know, and blurt it out as the truth. He would have fit into the internet world so perfectly now.
Right.
He has a statue that's at London's Natural History Museum. We've been there. Why didn't we see Jumbo? But anyway, P.T. Barnum, being the businessman that he was, sold the hide, the skeleton, and the heart to three different institutions.
All right.
And the skeleton is still on display at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City.
No kidding.
There you go. That's Jumbo. And we're out of time, man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. So let's ask this last question. If you could be taxidermed, would you ask to have that done when you died?
And I'd be positioned just like I'm sitting right now.
Well, you'd get to pick your pose
like
and stuff.
This.
And
right here.
And it would be...
Right here.
It would be something that your wife would get to keep, assuming that they're all the wives outlive us.
My wife doesn't want any part of me.
Even now.
That's what I'm talking about.
I would be stuffed. Johnson?
No.
Alan?
I'm stuffed right now. I just ate a little while ago.
See you later. Rick Gator.
Crocodile.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jen's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. Your dog is coughing. He's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Crocodile, and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. Because there aren't any.